We're here with Ross K. Baker, distinguished professor of political science at Rutgers University, a man I knew well when I was there and had great respect for. He received his PhD from the University of Pennsylvania, research associate at the Brookings Institution, has served on the staffs of many top members of Congress. Ross, just give us a little rundown on some of the politicians you worked for.
Yeah, I started off working for the man who's become Jimmy Carter's vice president, Walter Mondale, when Senator Mondale was still in the Senate. I went on to work for, this was 1976, worked for two more Democratic senators. And then decided, having spent some time in the Senate, I needed to find out about the House. So I took a sabbatical working for the chairman of the Democratic Caucus in the House of Representatives. And then it occurred to me, hey, you've been talking a lot to Democrats and learned a lot about Democrats in Congress. What about Republicans? So I signed up for the next sabbatical with this was in 2000, with a Republican senator, Chuck Hagel, from Nebraska, who, of course, later became Secretary of Defense under President Obama. Subsequently, for Senator Patrick Leahy, who was then chairman of the Judiciary Committee in the Senate. And finally, the last three sabbaticals of mine with Harry Reid, who for two of those sabbaticals was the majority leader of the Senate. And one of my sabbaticals, the last one in 2016, he was the minority leader. And I can tell you that being in the office of a minority leader is very different than being in the office of a majority leader.
Okay. The next president, either Trump or Biden, will be the oldest in U.S. history. What should we make of that?
Well, I think the question is who rises to the top in any of these political contests. And age, per se, is really not an issue. I mean, people will stress their youth if they see it as an asset, and or will stress their experience, including age, if they see that as an asset. And you see that, for example, in the primary race in Massachusetts between Senator Markey and his challenger, Representative Kennedy. Senator Markey, having spent a lot of time in the House of Representatives before he came to the Senate, has, you know, basically put forward not only his experience, but also his ability to adapt to new conditions. He's embraced the Green New Deal and so on. A high-quality politician is really able to, be very agile in adjusting, whether it's kind of interpreting age as experience or presenting youth as freshness and promise.
Talk to me about Mitch McConnell, then. You work for a leader yourself. You know about this. An awful lot of people I know just detest the man, think he has no principles. But he has this relationship with Trump that he's got to always manage. We recently heard, not to go on too long, that he said to some of his senators, save yourselves, because this guy's going to be poison in your reelection. Can you talk about that at all?
Yes. I had kind of an insight into Senator McConnell. I brought a group of students from Rutgers down to Washington, and Senator McConnell was kind enough to host us. And this was early in the Trump administration. This would have been probably March of 2017. And he was talking about the Constitution, and he kind of had this kind of paradoxical smile, and he said the Constitution is something the president's going to have to learn something about, which I thought was really kind of interesting, to open up to a bunch of college students that, he thought that the president was constitutionally untutored. And I think it's been that way all along, in that, he is the Republican leader. There is a Republican agenda. He wants to create a very strong conservative judiciary. He needs the president to sign bills that are important to Republicans. I don't think he enjoys going to the White House. And it's funny because he didn't enjoy going to the White House for obvious reasons when Obama was president. And he used to complain to Harry Reid. He said, I don't want to go there. You know, Obama and I are definitely not on the same wavelength. And I think to some extent it's true with Trump as well. But from a policy point of view, he's got to deal with Trump. But to get the things he wants, he's got to give Trump the things that he wants.
You know, you're a great political prognosticator, a guy who really understands things. There are many people who think that the Democrats are going to take the Senate. Will they?
Well, I think there is a pretty good chance. They certainly have a shot at it. There are some very strong Democratic challengers, Governor Heckenlooper in Colorado, Governor Bullock in Montana, Speaker Sarah Gideon running against Senator Collins in Maine, Teresa Greenfield running against Senator Joni Ernst in Iowa. The Democrats have good challengers this year, and these are all states in which Democrats can win Senate seats. So I'd say their chances are good, but it's by no means a lead pipe cinch. I think a lot is going to depend on what happens at the top of the ticket. It's always the case that if Iowa voters decide that for one reason or another that President Trump is the guy they want to keep in the White House, I think it's a ticket back to Washington for Senator Ernst.
Mitch McConnell, any chance he could be beaten in Kentucky?
I think it's highly unlikely.
Me too.
Amy McGrath has been able to raise a huge amount of money by people who hate Senator McConnell.
Right.
So you know, money is not an issue for her. I just don't think she's been a very good candidate. She's got absolutely solid gold credentials as a Marine fighter pilot. I mean, you can't do better than that. But I think, you know, in terms of actually, coming up with an appealing message, being tough and challenging McConnell, I just don't see that coming to fruition.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the other side of the aisle, Chuck Schumer. Right now, there are people on the air. I've heard from his people because I like Chuck Schumer, but I have not been utterly impressed by the way he has led the Democrats. And I wonder if you could comment on that, you know, because I think you need a leader. You got to be a leader who's articulate in terms of your side of things. But there's a chance, of course, that if they take the Senate, he'll be the leader. He'll have McConnell's job. What about that?
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. And, he is likely to be the next leader. I don't know that he would necessarily be the choice of many of his colleagues. I know Senator Reid, for example, really, really wanted Dick Durbin, the senator from Illinois, to be the leader. He just thought that he was a better voice for the party. Senator Schumer is a prodigious fundraiser, enormously energetic. He's a tough negotiator, and that's really one of the things that you want in a floor leader in the Senate. Although he may not be in the top of everybody's list as the favorite, his credentials for that job are pretty strong.
There's, in my state of Massachusetts, we have the Markey Kennedy primary going on. Now, Markey has been ahead in the polls, but Kennedy, it's often said in Massachusetts, there are two pictures on the wall, one of Christ and the other of Kennedy, John F. Kennedy. And so there's a bit of Kennedy mystique going on here. What do you think?
Well, honestly, Alan, I've always been fascinated by the durability of the Kennedy brand. And I just saw an amazing example of it, someplace where people probably wouldn't expect to see it, in a Democratic primary in New Jersey, in which a younger member of the Kennedy clan, Amy Kennedy, won a primary in the first congressional district to run against a Republican who had been a Democrat. And it kind of amazed me because, you know, you usually make the usual kind of carpetbagger accusation against somebody kind of comes into the state and runs. But sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But the fact that, 60 years later, after the Kennedy administration, people are still trading on the memory of President Kennedy or Senator Ted Kennedy, that it still has a tremendous amount of political voltage. And I'm really quite interested in how people have lined up in the Kennedy-Markey race. The idea that Senator Markey was able to very astutely recruit Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the leader of the progressive group in the House of Representatives, and Speaker Pelosi, for reasons that I can't quite figure out.
Me neither.
Joe Kennedy.
Yeah, but she did. She said, I like the Kennedys. In any case, that's an interesting rundown. So it would look like Markey's going to win this, right?
Well, if I had to be betting, I certainly would be betting on Markey. He's done all the right things. Yeah. He has name recognition, not only from having been House members for so long, but also, somebody who moved up to the Senate after a long time in the House. And that doesn't happen very often, Alan. You get people who gain a lot of seniority in the House. They start getting chairmanships and real power in that institution, and they're loath to leave. So Markey was a risk taker. I think he's a good politician. And I'd be inclined to put a modest bet on him to win.
Huh. Well, it's great to talk to Ross Baker, one of my favorite professors in the whole world. Taught with him at Rutgers University, where he has the title of distinguished. And I know how distinguished he is and how lucky his students are. So thank you for being with us, Ross. And we'll come back one more time and we'll talk some more.
Always a pleasure, Alan.